We are starting this new series, as Drew said, Joy in the Journey. What a great theme for the beginning of the year. Joy, right? But as we all know, joy kind of like leaks, right? It's like 1 minute we are on the top of our world and experience, and the other minute it seems like, you know, it can be a moment of like despair. You know, you can have joy in 1 minute and sadness in another minute. And then, you know, sometimes when you open up God's word and you read verses like this one in 1 Thessalonians 5:16, where it says that be joyful always. You read that and you go like, what? How is that even possible? There is another version that says rejoice in the Lord always. How can, you know, we rejoice always? How can we be joyful always? Is that even like a possibility? And as we will see together in this series, we'll be able to see, you know, I always like, if God said something in his word, it's not a problem for us to at first, like, you know, doubt or try to understand, but the goal is at the end, it's to agree with God and say, God, you know what? I'm going to take you by your word. And if you are saying that, you know, there is a provision of joy for my life in a day-to-day base, I'm going to go after that. I'm going to, you know, do my best to like understand, embrace, live out your plan of joy for my daily life. So, and thank God for the Bible, because we have so many like people that had their own experiences and their life was not like perfect, but if there was one thing that it was exemplified in their lives is that they had that joy, and it was the joy of the Lord. And Paul will be our great example here in this book of Philippians that we are going to study. The book of Philippians is actually like a Paul manifesto, personal manifesto of how to live a life full of joy. We'll see in this book of Philippians that joy, it's a constant in this book, you know. In verse 1:4, he said, like, you know, I always pray with joy. In verse 1:18, he said, I rejoice and I continue to rejoice. In 2:18, it says, you know, be glad and rejoice with me. In chapter 3, verse 1, it says, like, rejoice in the Lord. In chapter 4, verse 4, it says, like, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, if God is talking about joy, and if there is a provision of joy for each one of us, hey, there is a purpose for that. Maybe we need the joy of the Lord. Maybe the joy of the Lord, you know, can make our lives day by day much, much better. And we're going to see here in the book of Philippians, we're going to see, you know, the secret of Paul's joy, of Paul's rejoicing. And we're going to see that, you know, the secret wasn't because he was like a super saint in scripture. The secret was not because he was living his life in denial. The secret was not because he had a, you know, problem-free life. You know, he didn't experience any sadness. He wasn't like depressed. He didn't have any, you know, despair moment in his life. Actually, this person, specifically Paul, his life was kind of like crazy. It was kind of crazy. For example, we read in 2 Corinthians 11, I think we have here for you. These are some of the things that we read about the realities of this guy that we're going to be studying, how he could live his life in a state of joy after going through. And many of the things that, you know, he goes through, we can, in a sense, identify with him in that. But it says here, 2 Corinthians 11, it says, he said, you know, I work much harder, being jailed more often, beaten up more times than I can count, and at death's door, time after time, I have been flogged 5 times with the Jews, 39 lashes. I have been beaten by the Roman rods 3 times, pummeled with rocks once. I have been shipwrecked 3 times, immersed in the open sea for a night and a day. A hard traveling year in and out. I have to ford rivers, fend off robbers, struggle with friends, struggle with foes. I have been at risk in the city. I have been at risk in the country. I have been at risk in the desert under the sun and then, you know, the sea storm. I have been betrayed by those who were my brothers. I have known drudgery and hard labor, many a long and lonely night without sleep, many a missed meal, blasted by cold and naked to the weather. I'm reading from the Message Bible, but here is a picture of Paul's life. This guy that is writing this book, this letter to the Philippians, you know, calling us through the Holy Spirit to live our lives in this provision of joy. And the picture that we have of his life, it's like, wow. I don't know about you. I haven't gone through, you know, all that Paul have gone through here. But if he could experience joy, even after all this, you know, the question is like, how in the world, right? How? How can you write the things that you wrote to us about joy after this? And if this was not enough, you know, Paul also tells us that in 2 Corinthians 12:7, that he had this type of illness that he called like a thorn in his flesh. It was something that bothered him every day in his life, every single day. And then, you know, finally, according to church history, Paul was killed by Nero, the emperor who literally cut his head off, you know, at year 67 AD. I mean, this is the guy that wrote to us about experiencing joy and joy in the Lord, as we will see. So once again, what was Paul's secret to joy? And that's what we are going to, you know, study and discover in this series. I really believe with all my heart, as Drew and I, we were talking about this series, that the testimony of Alex today was so beautiful, because I really believe that when we take the time to open up God's word, God, he wants to express something to us. You know, I believe so. Sometimes it can be a word, sometimes it can be a phrase, sometimes, you know, you will not going to understand everything that you read, but I really believe that, you know, God is trying to speak to us through his word, through his spirit, you know, through us communicating God's word together, and we will see here that, you know, Paul's ability to be joyful was due to the source of his joy. And from the beginning, you know, he tells us that the source of his joy was in the Lord. It was in the Lord. Paul, he placed his confidence and hope in the character and in the nature of God instead of his difficulties, his pain, his constant change in his life. Paul, he was able to have joy because of his confidence in the sovereignty of God that we just sang this morning, the sovereignty of Jesus Christ. Also, Paul, he was able to have joy because he had a glimpse of heaven, right? We read, I'm not going to have the time to read, but you can read at home, 2 Corinthians 12, Paul had this experience of heaven. It's almost like if he was taken up And if the curtain was pulled a little, and he saw something that transformed his life forever, forever. So he had this confidence, you know, that what God has promises in his word was true. And the promise of heaven, it's true from God to us. So this book of Philippians, it's a joyful letter. It's a letter that, you know, Paul, he wrote to the Philippians as like a thankful letter to the Philippians, as we will see. And the theme, the main theme of the book is the joy of the Lord. As Drew said, we're going to be using this book. Both Drew and I, and many of you know Warren Wiersbe. He is a great, great man of God. And he wrote this book, the B series, and Be Joyful. It's one that we're going to be using. And you can, you know, download, or you can, there was some free ones in the back as well. But I think you're going to have a good time just like sitting with somebody, you know, could be like two on two, could be a group of people, and just reading Philippians and just maybe opening up and reading a chapter of that book. Because we're going to be using, I love how he, you know, one of the outline of the book, Philippians has like four chapters, right? And Warren Wiersbe, he outlined, one of the outline was, he divided like this, you know, the single mind, the submissive mind, the spiritual mind, and the secure mind. And one thing that we see repeated there, it's mind. It's because, you know, joy has to do with a state of mind, as we'll see. It's all, you know, in the mind. And today specifically, we're going to, you know, take a look at the single-minded guy that was Paul. And have you been like make fun of it or being like joked for being like a single-minded person? You know, did someone tell you like, you are so single-minded, you know, you should be more open to, you know, and when it comes to Jesus and when it comes to God's word, I think, you know, it is a blessing for us to be single-minded, right? Paul, he was single, focus-minded in the things of God, in the things in God's word. So today, I would like to read verses 1 to 11, where he talks about the fellowship of the gospel. And it goes like this, beautiful reading, Philippians 1, 1 to 11. It goes like this, Paul and Timothy, servants of Jesus Christ, to all God's holy people in Christ Jesus at Philippi, together with the overseers and deacons, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God every time I remember you, Philippians. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy, because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you, he will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. It is right for me to feel this way about all of you, since I have you in my heart. And whether I am in chains, and he was in prison at this time, he was in chains, or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affections of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer for you, that your love may abound more and more in the knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what's best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes to Jesus Christ, to the glory and to the praise of God. Isn't that beautiful? I mean, we could, I kid you not, you know, we're going to be doing this series, and there is no way that we can even like scratch the surface of the book of Philippians, I'm telling you. And that's why I want to encourage you, read, open up the Bible, let God speak to you to the book of Philippians, to the words, to the phrases that you read, to the outline of the book, because it is deep and it is wide. And this, maybe there is a reason that God is bringing our attention as, you know, this little church here in Beaufort, he's bringing our attention to this theme of like joy. Maybe in 6 months from now, you are going to understand there was a reason that God, you know, was bringing my attention to the provision of joy that he has for my life. Because he knew that in my experience, that is not kind of what I was going to experience in a day by day. But he had a provision that came from him. John 15:11, it says this, Jesus said this to his disciples, to his followers. Jesus said, you know, these things I have spoken unto you, that my joy remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Once again, if Jesus said that we can have joy, and if Jesus said that we can have this like full portion of joy, it is almost like unbelievable. It is like, you know, we can go like, hey, you don't know me. If you only knew me, how can I have, you know, this, how can I live in this state of joy? Hey, if Jesus wasn't the one saying, maybe we could like, you know, just not pay attention to. But Jesus said, you know, one of the reasons that I came, and one of the reasons that I'm still with you, and one of the reasons that, you know, I came in the flesh is that my joy may remain in you, and that you can have this fullness of joy in you. So I really believe that it is a privilege and it is a blessing for us as Christians to experience joy in our lives, right? It is a blessing. I remember, you know, not being a Christian before. And I remember not enjoying this provision of joy from the Lord in my life, and how it makes a difference now for me. But, you know, we all know that, you know, because joy leaks, joy has some enemies as well. Joy has some, you know, joy stealers that would like to rob us from the provision of joy that it is from God to us. And I, you know this, it's nothing new. But, you know, there is this four joy stealers that we would like to bring your attention to from the beginning of this series. And because you're going to be facing maybe tomorrow some of these. The first one, it's circumstances, right? Sometimes, you know, they're good. Sometimes they're terrible. And it makes us terrible. It makes us sad. It makes us joyless. But as we'll see here in this book, and as we'll see here, you know, in Paul's experience, that his circumstances was not perfect, but he still experienced joy from the Lord. Here specifically, you know, he was in a prison in Rome, and he had this, you know, Epaphroditus, is that how you say it? In Portuguese, it's Epafrodito. It's much easier. Epafrodito, you know? If you have a son, man, give him a Portuguese name, Epafrodito. And kids will never forget in school. What's your name again? You know? How do you say in English? You don't have? No? Okay, all right. So, Epaphroditus, right? He was a member of the church in Philippi, And he was visiting Paul in Rome when he was in prison. And he was actually bringing him like an offering that they collected for him. And that's when Paul, you know, wrote this letter to the Philippians, and he sent it as a, you know, a thank you, actually, letter to them, as he was a missionary. And but again, Paul's circumstances was really hard. And circumstances can rob the joy that we have in the Lord. And we need to be aware of that. The second thing, the second joy stealer is people. And we all know that, right? We have lost our joy from time to time because of people. And unfortunately, sometimes, you know, because of the people very close to us, you know, sometimes they can steal our joy. And it's important for us to be aware that, you know, even the people that we love, I hope not, but even the people that we love and the people that are close to us and maybe here with one another, let's be real. Sometimes I can steal your joy by saying something that wasn't wise to say, you know, by you know, not noticing you, right? Sometimes we do it, and thank God that we can practice forgiveness. Because we as people sometimes, unfortunately, you know, we have this ministry of stealing other people's joy. And I hate that that happens. But, you know, people can be a joy stealer. There is a, in the book, as you are reading, Warren Wisby, he talks about this experience, this one time that his daughter came home, and I believe she was a teenager, and she came home from school, and she walked out of the bus, and she walked inside of home, and she, you know, like opened the door, and she's like, people, 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 and went into her bedroom, you know, and then, you know, her mom went after, and the dad too, and they knock on the door, and they ask, you know, can we come in? And she said, no. And they ask, why not? Because you are people. You know, so people, people, people. Yeah, sometimes the people that we love can rob our joy. And number three, things, right? Things, or the lack of things, can rob us from the joy that Jesus has for us. Luke verse 12, verse 15, it says this pertaining to things: a man's life consists not in the abundance of things that he possesses. So, you know, both like lack of things or too many things can steal the provision of joy that the Lord has for each one of us. And the last one, it's one that probably we all experience the most. It's worry, right? Worry. I mean, boy, every single day something comes across, you know, to make us worry, to grab our attention and to rob the joy. Worry, it's this, you know, inside, it does this inside job, you know, in our minds, in our hearts to rob us from our joy, our provision of joy. So once again, here in the book of Philippians, Paul gives us some ideas in how we can experience joy and how we can avoid to let these joy stealers to rob our joy. It's interesting because in the four chapters, it's only four chapters, Philippians, in the four chapters that it was written, I love how Warren Wiersbe divided that outline, and you know, he divided the outline into the single-minded, as we saw, right? The spiritual-minded. Can you go back to, I think it's forward. One more. Yeah. Yeah, the four ones. Go back. I think it's... right there. The single-minded, the submissive-minded, the spiritual-minded, and the secure-minded. Once again, because, you know, a lot of this that he will be talking about has to do with us guarding our minds and guarding our hearts, because it's going to start in the mind. And here, you know, to start with, Paul, he is encouraging us, just like him, you know, be single-minded in the things of God. Be single-minded in the promises of God. And being a single-minded person, it's not being a person that doesn't care about anything else around them. It's not a person that just, you know, is careless about everything else. But it's a person that has an attitude of mind that, you know what? I have Jesus in my life. I have the promises of God for me. You know, and, you know, things will happen to me. People will happen to me. You know, there will be things added to my life, and there will be some times, you know, there I'm going to lack things. You know, there will be things to worry, but I'm going to guard my heart, and I'm going to guard my mind, and I'm going to say to myself that, you know, nothing will make any difference to me but to live God's plan for my life, to glorify Him, and to share, you know, the good news of God's word with other people. That's what Paul did. That's what Paul did. And that's what he's invited us, you know, to be single-minded in this way and to have this fellowship with the gospel of truth, fellowship with the good news. And this word fellowship, you know, simply it means like to have something in common, right? But for us as a Christian, fellowship, it's way more than just having something in common. You know, it's way more than just like, you know, going have coffee or a pie or, you know, playing a game together. It's more than just like acquaintanceship. Is that how you say it? That's a big word right there. Seriously, I'm not going to even try again. It's not just like friendship. It's way more than that. You know, this fellowship goes beyond because it has eternal values, right? It has the knowledge, you know, of everything that God has done for us. And we have embraced. We know what it is to be forgiven. We know what it is to be saved. We know what it is to, you know, have the Holy Spirit live inside of us. We know what it is to have, you know, promises of God for each day of our lives. So we embrace all this and we fellowship with all this. And then we fellowship with one another. This is a fellowship with the gospel that brings what? It brings peace into our hearts. It brings peace into our mind. And Paul here, he uses like three thoughts in Philippians that I'm going to finish with this to describe this true fellowship. He said in verses 3-6, I have you, Paul said, I have you in my mind. And then as we'll see, you know, in verse 7 and 8 in this passage that we read, he said, you know, I have you in my heart. And then he said, you know, I have you in my prayers as well. The first part here, we read already, verse 3-6. Paul said, you know what? I have you in my mind. He said, I thank my God every time I remember you in all my prayers for you. I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of that he who began a good work in our lives, he will carry on until Christ Jesus come back. Paul was someone that thought about others. He lived his life for others. Some time ago, I preached a message, you know, others, Lord, others, help us to live for others. In my own life, and I speak for myself, you know, the more that I self-absorb myself with myself the worse it is, and the more like worry that I have. And it seems to me that the more that I open up my hands and I live my life, you know, for others, it seems that there is a much better provision of joy in doing that. And I have experienced that in my own life. Paul, he said, you know, I have you in my mind. And he was thinking about, you know, the work of God in their lives. And he was like building them up, right, in their faith. And he talks about like this, you know, three parts of work of God in their lives. And I think I have this here for us. And it's the same for us, you know, the work that God does for us, salvation, the work that God does in us, sanctification, but also the work that God does through us, and that is called service. Paul experienced God's work in his life. He experienced salvation. He was experiencing sanctification in the worst of the circumstances, in the worst of the people around him, beating him up. But do you know what? Paul was also experiencing the joy of serving people from a jail, from a place that he had no business to do what he was doing. But he was doing anyway because God was enabling him to do it. And it's a work, Paul said, that will continue it until the day that we see Christ face to face. 1 John 3:2, it says that we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And we'll have that work come to a completion. So Paul said, I have you in my mind, but also I have you in my heart. Verse 7 and 8, it is right for me to feel this about you, since I have you in my heart. Whether I am in chain or defending or confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affections of Christ Jesus. It's amazing how Paul had this sincere love for his friends, right? And I cannot help but think about the blessing of the sincere love and care that we have in our friend and Pastor Drew. You know, when I was reading this about Paul, and I wish he was here, I would love to say that to him, but talking about someone that sincere love his friends, I have experienced that in Drew and Laura. And it is a blessing to have that in them, you know, as our friends and as our pastors, you know, they have us in their hearts. If you need them for anything, they're game for it, right? And what a blessing to have that. My goodness, I should be finishing. Last part here, I'm sorry about that. The third part, he says, you know, I have you in my prayers. And he said, this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what's best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. Paul remembered his friends when he was with God before the throne of grace. He remembered them in his prayers. And I don't know you, but what a blessing when someone comes to you and say, hey, I have been thinking about you and I have been praying for you. That brings so much joy. You know, if you want to bring joy to someone's heart, just tell them that you are praying for them because you are. Paul was praying for the church in Philippi. Paul was praying for those people that he had an opportunity to invest And his prayer was that they could grow in love. And it is God's prayer for us as well, that we can grow in love. His prayer was that he could, that they could grow in maturity of character. And that is, you know, his prayer and God's prayer for us as well. And Paul prayed that they may mature as well in Christian service, that they would be not only filled, but that they would be fruitful with fruits of righteousness in their lives. And that was his prayer for us as well. See, as we can see here, you know, Paul was fellowshipping with Jesus Christ. He was fellowshipping with the gospel of the good news. And fellowshipping with the gospel is fellowshipping with the truth. It is fellowshipping with Jesus, who is the truth. It's fellowshipping with love. It's fellowshipping with one another. And that fellowship, when we experience, brings joy to our lives. That fellowship, when we experience, help us to defeat the joy stealers that will be there every single day to rob our joy. So, you know, our prayer in this series is that here we are, a brand new year, 2026, that we would rejoice in the Lord in season and out of season. Not because of anything but the Lord, but the promises of the Lord. Not because of anything but the truth of the gospel, the Savior that we have in Jesus Christ, but also the fellowship that we can have with one another. I don't know about you, but every Sunday for me, it's an opportunity to be joyful. You know, it's the conversations that we have, the food that we eat together, the jokes that we, you know, are able to exchange, the prayer request and the carrying one another's burden. You know, we are growing and we are increasing in the joy of the Lord that it's a provision for each one of us daily. And we're going to be studying that. And I think it's going to be great. Amen? That is very good news for us today. Let's pray. Father, thank you so very much for this portion of Scripture. Thank you for the Apostle Paul and his obedience towards you. And thank you, Holy Spirit, for using him in writing great truth in God's Word. And here we are today. You want us to have joy. You want us to experience joy that it doesn't come from the circumstances. Sometimes it doesn't come to the people around us. It doesn't come by the things that we have or lack. And it doesn't come for the several things that we can be worried about. But it comes from you. Just like for Paul, you are the source of our joy. Father, please help us to fellowship with that. Help us to fellowship with you, the source of our joy. This year, 2026, may this be a year where we can grow in the joy of the Lord. May we be parents experiencing joy, husbands, wives, children, workers in the workplace, neighbors, displaying, experiencing, living the joy that comes from the Lord. Father, we thank you, we praise you, and it is in Jesus' name that we do that. Amen, amen, and amen. Thank you.